Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Carolyn, and I'm very, very excited about this because we're going to do a three-part series. Carolyn, she joined the Inner Circle recently. She's starting the 90-day Unicorn Strong Challenge, and every 30 days, Carolyn and I are going to hop on a call, and we're going to assess her progress. And as you'll hear in this first episode, we're really looking at ways to improve Carolyn's relationship with food, looking at how she can be more consistent, how she can care less about what the scale says while still making progress. So there's a lot in this first episode, and I'm very excited to see Carolyn's progress going forward. So if you don't subscribe to the podcast already, make sure you do, and make sure that you can get notifications or turn them on so you know when the podcast goes live, so every month you can hear how Carolyn is doing and keep up to date with her progress. So with that said, let's get into the episode.
Carolyn.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. Sorry for the corny headset I have on. It's my work one.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? I appreciate you getting on the phone with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is something new.
And you said you're in New York as well, right?
Yeah, I'm in like Buffalo area. So Western New York.
Got it. Okay. Did you grow up here?
Yeah, I've always been in like the Buffalo region.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, listen, I loved your idea on the Inner Circle Live. I'm here to answer any questions you have, like anything you want to talk about, like that's what I'm here for. So do me a favor, before we even get into the Unicorn Strong Challenge, Inner Circle, any questions you have, just like tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, what do you do for work? Like, just give me some insight.
Sure. So I work in tech distribution, so sales.
Okay.
Super, super random, but I love it. I love the company I work for. They're incredible, which is obviously you can't ask for more than that.
That's amazing. How long have you been with them?
It'll be 5 years this August.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of people who hate their job, so the fact that you love it, that's incredible.
Yeah, I had worked for a different company. I won't say who. 5 years ago, and I was making really good money, but I hated every minute of every day. So I took the jump and I took a massive pay cut, but it was worth every penny.
Good. I love that. Actually makes me super happy to hear. You know, it's like, I think a lot of people, especially younger people, they're chasing the paycheck as opposed to what they love. So that makes me super happy to hear.
Right. It was scary because like I do live very paycheck to paycheck. I, you know, in debt, we have a wedding coming up this year, but you know, it was all completely worth it. I just knew what my bottom line dollar was that I could get by and like make everything work. And then I just went out after that and they agreed. So
that's awesome. And you're getting married this year?
Yeah, we were supposed to get married last October, but obviously that didn't happen with the pandemic. So we pushed it to hopefully this October, but I think it'll happen. It seems like enough people will get the vaccines in time for everything to kind of start to open back up.
Yeah, yeah. Is it going to be a big wedding, small wedding? What are you thinking?
Well, we both are very Italian, so our list is like hovering 300, and it kills me. But you know how it is. It's like your cousins, 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 8 kids, and just gotta roll with it.
I've got like the most like cliche Italian accent in my head, like, you know, it's my cousin's cousin's cousin, y'all gotta be there, you pasta fagioli.
I always think of Family Guy when he's like bippity bop bippity boo, and they're like,
oh my god, I love
that. Like, that's
that.
Not Italian, Peter.
do you know Sebastian Maniscalco?
I don't.
He's one of my top 5 all-time favorite stand-up comedians, and obviously like Sebastian Maniscalco, very Italian. Like, you would love his. It's all about being Italian. It's like it's all he talks about. He has like 3 specials on Netflix. They're unbelievable. I literally just watched all 3 of them like last week. They're amazing. If you love like cliche Italian humor, like it's amazing.
I'll have to look it up. I'm sure I can relate.
So do me a favor. Talk to me about where you are fitness-wise, what you're doing, and we'll go from there and see how I can help.
Sure. So I guess like background, I've always been an athletic person. Like through high school, I played 3 sports. In college, I played rugby. I actually ended up fracturing my neck playing rugby.
Wow.
But jeez. Yeah, it was, it's like scarier looking back on it as an adult than at the time, because I was probably like 19. And I went to the hospital, but it was like one of those like college hospitals where it was probably just mainly for stomach pumps. So they only asked me one question. They were like, how do you feel? And I said, I wasn't sure, because obviously like my adrenaline was still going from rugby. And they were like, all right, well, you can leave. So got off the stretcher, left. Yep. Months went by and I started like blacking out and kind of like losing vision. So we went to, I went to like my, like a family friend who's like a chiropractor, and he sent me for x-rays, and it turned out I had, as they said, severely fractured the C1 and C2 in my neck.
Oh my God.
Like permanently shifted around each other, but it was a blessing and a curse, because if it didn't do what it did, I'd be paralyzed.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like in this permanent state of a fractured neck. So like, I still go on with my life, but it's been, I guess part of my fitness journey, trying to figure out like how to be competitive again without overdoing it. You know, like I'm also older, so my body's like more stagnant. Like I have a desk job. So through college, I was fine. I even kept playing rugby. And then after college is kind of when it all went downhill.
Is surgery an option? Is like, no way, like too dangerous?
No. Yeah. They said it's not worth the risk, because it's just there. Like the discs are permanently forward. My neck's kind of more straight than most people. I mean, I've explored everything. So I've done like chiropractor for 10 plus years, PT for 3+ years. I looked into injections. I mean, you name it. I've done it.
Yeah.
And like medicine doesn't work. Oddly enough, the only thing that I found that recently started working, and I don't know what your take is on it, but I recently got approved for like medical cannabis.
So amazing.
So I use like the liquid a few times a day. And I've, for the last like 2 months, I would say, have only had like 3 days where I've been slightly in pain.
Wow.
Whereas in the past, it was like, it was like four days, at least a week, I was just not a functioning member of society. But you just kind of get used to it, you know, like
your
pain level, you get used to it. But it's been great.
Listen, no one can argue with that. Like, number one, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to tell you what medicine to take. Not to mention, like, it seems to be making you a happier, healthier, stronger, better functioning individual. So, I mean,
right.
I'm all for it. There's no argument against it. As long as you're healthy and safe, that's all I care about. I mean, is there a fear or a risk of like a head collision causing another issue? Like what's that like? No, you're good.
No,
like, it's sort of stable.
I mean, now that you put it in my head, maybe, but no, I'm just kidding. No, I don't really think about it. The hardest part as like an athlete is like learning what you can't and what you can do, especially because I started CrossFit like 4 years ago. So that's kind of where my fitness journey went, because it was competitive, and it took like a year for me to like reel it back. Cause there were times where I'm like, I just want to do this. Like, you know, the inner athlete in you is like, no, I want to lift heavier, do more, be faster. Even if it's just like your own personal growth. But I've just learned that the pain afterwards just wasn't worth the reward. So I've kind of dialed it back like this past like year or so.
Good. That's amazing. I'm glad to hear that. So going forward, did you start the Unicorn Strong Challenge already, or what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, so yesterday was technically the day one. I was going to start when I first signed up, which I think was like a week or so ago. But I kind of like got caught up in looking at everything and trying to decide what
there's
I wanted to do.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. Yep.
Which for me is great, because like I love this stuff. So like learning about everything is like a passion of mine. Like I like helping people. So the endless articles and the fact that they're all like to the point, I think is incredible. So like if anyone's ever on the fence because they feel like they know enough, it's still, I found beneficial because, like, I know how to calculate macros. I know, like, the importance of protein and how to hit those numbers. But there are so many articles that are, like, to the point of, like, different perspectives that I've never had. And, like, I really value that part of it.
That makes me super happy. Thank you. That makes me really happy to hear.
And I like how condensed they are. It's not like, you know, this 10-page thing you got to, like, drudge through.
It's not like a 5,000-word article. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Good. So you started day one yesterday?
Yes.
And how'd it go?
Well, I originally was going to try to do that first week where your calories are super low, and then quickly realized, mm-hmm. like, I just can't do that. just with CrossFit, I tried thinking, like, maybe if I tried intermittent fasting, it might work because then, like, my calories are more loaded towards the end of the day when I work out. But for my goals in the gym, like, I want to be able to lift strong. So I just didn't. I'm just sticking with the high-low days.
That's perfect. So what are your calories at right now?
So for my low days, it's 1550 because my goal weight's 155. And then mm-hmm. the high days, I wrote it down. Sorry, I'm a nerd. I have a notebook.
Good.
High days are 1705.
Okay. And how many high days and how many low days?
I wrote out 3 high days and 4 low days. I'm kind of following exactly what you had written.
I love that. I've always said, if someone like sort of follows what I say, but not fully, then they can't get mad at me if they don't see the results. So like,
it's
if you follow exactly what I say, like
what you told me, because I had messaged you and was like, hey, I want to do CrossFit with this. Should I also incorporate your workouts? And you're like, well, you can be mad at me if you follow my workouts and it doesn't work, but you can't say anything if you don't.
That's exact. I remember the first time I ever said that to someone. It must have been 2014, 2015. I started to get a lot of CrossFitters wanting to work with me because of powerlifting, and you know, CrossFit incorporates powerlifting. And right. you know, I was competing at 132 pounds, and I was deadlifting well over 500 pounds. And I'm not like big and bulky, so a lot of women were like, "Hey, I want to work with you because I want to get strong, but I don't want to get bulky." And a lot of like very intense CrossFit women were like, "Okay, so I'm gonna do like 7 wads a week, and then I'm also want to do like your workouts." I was like, nope. If you want to work together, you got to do what I say, or else right. you can't be mad at me. So good. I'm it sounds like you, I love that you have a notebook. It's funny. You said that you're a nerd. That tells me that you're planning, like you care. Oh, yeah. I love that you just pulled out an old school notebook. You know, like we have the app in the Inner Circle and we have other stuff, but I'm like, honestly, if it's up to me, like for my own program, I write it down, like handwrite it. Like that's just how I prefer to do it.
Yeah, I'm very read write, probably to a fault. Like I will plan out my day, and if one thing goes wrong, it's kind of that all or nothing mentality where it just screws everything up. So it's like, if I don't eat well, why should I work out? If I don't work out, why should I eat well? And that's kind of where like a lot of my issues have spun from, at least from like the last year or so. So I'm trying to just follow the program as written and not do too much, because I try to like go crazy and then I burn out fast.
That makes me, it's not even just happy to hear. I'm impressed to hear it, because I think it's one of the top 3 most common issues I see in which people, they look at starting a new plan and they're like, okay, I'm going to work out 7 times a week. I'm going to reduce my calories by this much. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's like, I'm going to do double cardio sessions. I'm going to only eat protein. That it's like, okay, this is like on paper, it might be the ideal way to lose fat as quickly as possible. But in practice, you are setting yourself up for failure. And it's right. like for be able to say, hey, this is the biggest mistake that I make. I like that you're calling yourself on it and that you're aware of it. And you're like, you know what? Like, I would rather people start slow and really want to do more than start full throttle and then a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in be like, I just can't keep this up.
Right. And that's always been my issue, at least the last like couple years that I've been trying to focus on correcting, because you end up in the same situation 3 years later and you're just kicking your own ass for wasting all that time. And that's kind of how I feel. Like I just wasted, like I had joined CrossFit, worked with a nutritionist, got down to my goal weight, came out of a cut wrong and just kind of didn't learn from it, didn't reverse, just went back to my asshole ways of eating. And now here I am 2 years later where I've like not only went above the weight I was at before, but I've like gone even farther. So it's like you hate yourself, you know, and that's where I'm trying to like get past is like it took 2 years to screw it up. Take the time to get it done right. But you want instant gratification, you know?
So let me ask you this. Is there anything you're struggling with? Could be physically, could be mentally, could be knowledge, like anything you're struggling with like right now. Because this is the cool thing, right? So you were like, let's do a podcast at the beginning of Unicorn Strong Challenge and then podcast at the end of Unicorn Strong Challenge. So you know what? This is, before you answer that question, I'm going to ask you a different question. What would have to happen by the end of these 90 days for you to look back and say, wow, that was totally worth it?
It's a great question because the part of me obviously wants like the weight loss goal, like everybody does. Like you want to see it on the scale, even though like I know the scale is not the end all be all, but to some degree it is a motivator. So
absolutely. Anyone who says otherwise is not telling the truth. It absolutely is a motivator. Yes.
Right. So if I could lose, like ideally, if I lost a pound to a pound and a half a week, I would call that a miracle. If I lost like half a pound a week, that would be great because it's still a loss. I think also a big win would be just completing it. Because like I'll get like 2 weeks into something and I'll like cave with eating because I'm stressed out or I'm exhausted. Like that's always been a big one of mine is like when I'm really tired, I just eat like crap. So that's why I kind of wanted like the accountability of the podcast. Like I can't check in 90 days and be like, yeah, I screwed up day six. So I gave up. Sorry. So well, I figured it's a good way to be like, hey, this is what I actually did. This is my check-in point, you know, what I can do from there.
So this is one of the reasons I really like that question. Is because it forces you to establish a baseline of success, right? And it's funny because a lot of times if someone doesn't establish a baseline of what success will be, then in their head, they glamorize it. And it becomes this grandiose idea of like, oh, at the end of the 90 days, I'm gonna finally love my body and I'll have 0% body fat and I'll be deadlifting 1,000 pounds and I'll be able to fly and orgasms will last an hour. It's like, okay, hold on. This is just not like realistic, right? So one of the things that I really liked about what you said was the consistency part of it. Like, I really like that you're like, you want to be consistent because you know yourself and you know that historically when you get tired, you burn out, you stop. So let's focus on that for 1 second because then I'm going to have you pull your notebook out and have you write this down.
It's right here.
Let's establish what a really good goal would be successful at the end of 90 days in terms of consistency. Like, so what percentage wise, or we could do percentage wise, we could do X number of days. So if it's a 90 day challenge, like how many days are you on point? Like, let's come up with some either a single number, like a minimum number or a range of numbers, like between this and this, in which that would be your successful consistency level.
So it's funny that you say that because I've been listening obviously a lot to your podcast and following you for a while. So I actually have like in my month goal, because I'm trying to set like small goals. Because if I just say like, I want to like lose all this weight by the time my wedding hits, there's still a lot of time before then. And that's kind of where like my mentality has been broken where it's like, well, whatever. It's just Super Bowl Sunday. Who cares? Just oh, it's just a friend's in town. Who cares? You have, you know, 8 months till the wedding or whatever it was. So yep. I actually wrote for March very like specific goals. So I wrote I wanted 87% consistency, so 27 out of 31 days.
That's for March?
Yeah, for March specifically.
Okay.
And then I wanted to hit steps because that's like my biggest fault is I am very like at my desk. Like I'll go up and down the stairs to go get water, but it's not plausible to get 10,000 steps by just going up and down your stairs a few times every hour. So yep. I'm just trying to change like each individual day to hit those goals. So like whether it's wake up a little bit earlier, get on the treadmill or.
Okay. So it's the goal of for March of 87% consistency. Is that what you said? 87?
And, yeah. So and 27 out of 31 days. Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How realistic do you think that is for March? Like if you had like right now, the 2nd of March, how realistic do you think it is for you to get 87% and 10,000 steps?
I think the 87% is pretty realistic. Just looking at like past months of, like I've gone like almost over 90% a lot of months. Like when I was really like invested into it, the 10,000 steps is super hard for me. Like I didn't sleep well last night, so I didn't get up early because there's no point in driving your car if you don't have gas. So I just slept a little bit longer. And then on lunch, I ran. Like right now I'm at, let's see, I'm at 6,200 steps, which is double most of my days. So the 10,000 is the hardest part for me.
Okay. So how about this? How about... what if we keep March for 87% consistent and we make minimum steps 5,000? What do you think about that?
I'm down for whatever. I will, like I said, I'm very checklisty. So if someone says do X, Y, and Z, I'll do X, Y, and Z.
So the way that I'm thinking is number one is 87% consistent with nutrition would be like obviously incredible. So like if you can do that, you're going to be crushing it. In terms of the steps to already be to essentially triple your steps and knowing that that's like the hardest part for you, I would rather do our best to set you up for success by making it starting small. Right. And so since you were probably getting around 3,000 before, jumping to 5,000, you're getting 2,000 more steps a day still. And it doesn't mean you can't go above that, right? I would just say, let's start low. And then maybe in April, what I'm thinking for April and May is dropping the percentage of consistency for nutrition just like a little bit and increasing steps. Because I would like you to have a little bit more leeway. The 87%, if you could do that for 90 days, that would be incredible. But I'm not just concerned about these 90 days. I'm focused on the 91st day and the 95th day and the 100th day. And you even said like you've been able to be over 90% when you're really invested in it. But what about when it's just like part of life? That's where my mind goes.
Right.
And I think if you think that you have to be at least 87% consistent in order to be successful, you're setting yourself up for failure consciously or not by when you eventually finish the 90 days and then maybe you have four off days in a row, who knows? You're like, oh, screw this. Like, what's the point? So what do you think about for like March, totally fine, keep 87%, have a strong start. April, May, dropping it down to 80%. And again, if you decide, like if you happen to have like an 85, 90% consistent month, like amazing. I'm not going to be upset about that. That's incredible. But dropping the not like number one, if you're 80% consistent, guarantee you're going to see incredible results, like guaranteed. But giving yourself the leeway ahead of time to say, hey, like I didn't hit my calories today. Not a big deal. Like I'm still 84% consistent so far this month. What do you think about that?
I think the only hard part for me is without structure, which is like the part that I need to learn, especially throughout this, without structure, I go off the rails. You know, like I'm that person who's like, oh, I have a bag of chips. Like, you know, I want to be perfect tomorrow. So let me just eat this entire bag of chips to get it out of the house. You know, like that's like my sick mentality when it comes to stuff like that. So if I don't have like calories or macros to try to hit, it's just, you know, eat everything in sight. Like, oh, let me have a pound of pasta. Let me eat a row of Oreos, you know? So it might be a good challenge for me because then maybe it might break that, you know, harsh mentality I have.
I also think that when I say 80% consistent, or even let's use 87% consistent, and we'll use like the 13% of inconsistent there. In your mind, does that mean like the 13% is like you're just eating a mega fuck ton, or is that just like you just didn't happen to eat your calories, right? So it's like, in my mind, you say you need structure. How is 87% structured but 80% not structured, right? So how, what does the unstructured, or what does the inconsistent days, what does that look like to you?
Right. It's, I'd like to give you an ideal answer, but it's not like I, it's definitely
give me the honest answer.
Right.
Honest.
Just honest. It could be one of two things. Either I didn't have a way to calculate the day, so maybe I'm miscalculating a few things, or I went out to eat or went to someone's house where like I couldn't properly calculate it. And if it's not like perfectly calculated in my brain, I just don't bother, because it's like, I need it to be exact, because I am very like read, write in numbers. or it's off the rails, you know, like that whole, like I said, a whole box of pasta. It's like all the things, especially as a woman who has lower calories, because I haven't done a reverse, you feel like you can't incorporate in your food, because like, I'm not going to waste, say like 50 carbs on this little thing of pasta when I could eat, you know, a huge meal for that amount. So like my bad days are usually like all the things that like, sure, I could eat, but like incorporating one donut into my day of macros means I'm starving the rest of the day. Does that make sense? Because they're not like high enough yet.
Makes total sense. I mean, when I was doing the Big Mac challenge, like I was hungry almost the entire time, because I'm a small dude. Like I'm a small dude, and like 5'4", I was like 140 pounds, and 540 calories were coming from the Big Mac. So I get that for sure. This is a really good topic of discussion. I would love to come up with a goal here so that it's less all or nothing on your quote unquote like off days, right? I would like to, because I think this is really, if we're talking about developing a healthy relationship with food, this is really the crux of the issue, right? It's like the issue isn't when you're, as you said, invested, you're on point. But then what happens when maybe you're not as invested, you have an off day? Like, does that just mean you're just balls out? Like, I'm going to eat literally everything my eyeballs see, because I know tomorrow I'm going to have to be back. So I don't want you to feel like you're suffering ever. Because if you feel like you're suffering, then that's when you set yourself up for failure. Because as soon as you feel like you're suffering, you can only suffer for so long before you say, screw it, like I'm going to go to Dunkin' Donuts and get a dozen donuts and then probably another dozen donuts. Right. So I do think, you know, actually what I would like, how much do you weigh right now?
I am, no, I'm just kidding. I'm roughly like 183, which is just the heaviest I've ever been in my life.
Okay. Okay. So, and your goal weight's 150?
155.
Okay.
That's where I got to before, and I felt good at it. Like I wanted to go lower than that, but 155 I feel like is like a healthy balance for myself.
And what equation did you use to get 1500 and 1700?
I used, it's like week two. Let me pull out my other notebook. Hold on. Sorry. I'm literally a notebook fiend.
No, it's good.
I don't have it written down. It's like week two of that first week. I think it says like your goal weight times 11 and then your goal weight times 10, I think, are the two numbers. I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Okay. No worries. I'm going to change your numbers. Okay. I'm going to change your numbers. And these are the numbers that I want you to stick with for the entire first month.
First month. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to keep it so that we're going to keep your low days at 1500 and we're going to make your high days 1900.
1900 and then same protein, the 109 for both.
Yeah, that's perfect. So you're going to have 4 1500, 3 1900. And the reason I want to do that is, number one, is because you're still, I promise you, you're going to be losing fat. Promise you if you do that. Number two is, this is going to give you more leeway on your high days to have a few extra, have a snack, whatever it is. Also, and this is really important, Let's say on one of your off days, you go up to 2,500. Let's just say you happen to go up to 2,500. What do you think happens?
You know, your crazy brain automatically assumes you're going to gain a bunch of weight because the scale is going to be up, even though the scientific part of my brain knows you probably had more carbs. Water attaches to carbs. You're probably just more full. But it's so hard to break that mentality when, like, you've just consistently seen a high scale number for so long without it dropping. And I had such great success on my first cut that, like, my mind automatically compares to that. Even though I know it's harder the second time around when you gain everything back. And I was only on 1,300 calories that first cut.
So that first cut, you saw great results from the perspective of you lost a lot of fat. But gaining it all back, we're like, okay, that's clearly not the goal, right?
Right.
So you used the phrase, like, your crazy brain thinks that, like, you gained a bunch of weight. And I think it's very telling, right? Because your crazy brain and your logical brain are dichotomous. Like, they're in direct contrast with one another. And I think one of the best things that we could get from this 90 days is we can talk about your weight and we can talk about your consistency and we can talk about all of that. I think the biggest win from these 90 days, developing a healthier relationship with food that isn't all or nothing, that isn't, okay, it's an off day. I'm going up. I'm just going to eat literally everything in sight. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I mean, that's kind of been my biggest goal with, like, signing up with you, because, like I said, like, I know the ins and outs of macros to some degree, just because I've been doing it for so long and studying it for so long. And I find it really fascinating. So it wasn't necessarily about, like, getting numbers, but I like everything that you preach. Like, the podcast I listen to every time I go on a walk with the dog, and I watch all your Instagram videos, and it just seems like that's definitely has to be my biggest takeaway, at least the start of over the next 90 days. Cause all I can think about is, like, my end goal. And the longer I, like, put off all the things I need to do, then I'm just never going to hit that end goal. And it's going to feel worse and worse with every month that passes by.
I could not agree more. I'm very happy with where this is going. I think we're going to have a really good resolution by the end of it. This is what I spoke about in my TED Talk recently. It was basically the understanding of any physical progress that you make, weight loss, whatever it is, any physical progress you make, if it's not done on the foundation of a healthy relationship with food, any and all physical progress will inherently be short-lived.
I'm living proof of that.
It is, and I've found I'm sort of, like, getting chills as I say it, because it's just, I see it time and time for over a decade with thousands of people. People are like, oh, I got amazing results and then I lost it. And I talked to them and I realized it's because the physical results they got were built on a foundation of an unhealthy relationship with food. And that for me is, like, that's what we need to accomplish that first. And that, right, without question, like, you could get to the end of the 90 days and you could lose 0 pounds. But if you get to the end of 90 days, lose 0 pounds, and you tell me that you didn't binge, like, that will be literally the most impressive, incredible story that it could have been. Like, if you get to the end of 90 days, and for whatever it's worth, Carolyn, like, you're going to lose weight, I promise. Like, I know you are. But I'm highlighting the hierarchy of importance here, right? I know it seems like weight loss is the most important, but realistically, you know, like, it's not hard to lose weight. You've done it. Like, you know it's not hard because you know how it's done. The hard part is keeping it off. Yep. That's the real hard part. If you want to lose weight, right, like, you know you could do it. Like, straight up, like, gun to head, lose weight, cool, no problem. Gun to head, keep it off, now we've got a different discussion. That's a whole separate issue. And the only way to really attack that is to start with saying, okay, how do we improve your relationship with food? How do we get you to a point where, like, for example, the other day, I was walking down the street, and my weakness is fried chicken. That's my weakness. I love fried chicken. I was walking down the street. I smelled fried chicken. I went and got it. I know I was over my calories by about, like, 800 that day because of it. It's like, old me, 10-year-ago me, would have been like, I'm 800 calories over. Screw it. I'm going to have another 4,000 calories because I already screwed it up. my goal is for you to be like, you have 800 calories over. Like, cool. It's 800 calories. Who gives a fuck? It's 800 calories. Like, are you kidding me? Doesn't matter. 800 calories, you get back on track. And I guarantee if we can get you to there, that for me will be the ultimate success of this 90 days. What do you think?
I totally agree. Cause like, I don't want to live and die by having to count calories the rest of my life. Like, do I think it's good to do, like, you know, once you're at where you want to be mentally, physically, like, do I think it's good to do it like every few days to keep yourself in check? Yeah. That would be like where I'd want to be, like just a few days a week, making sure I'm getting enough protein, doing everything right, and just being able to enjoy life. Like my chef's or my fiance is an executive chef. Like I should be able to enjoy those meals, 100%. But I just feel too guilty, you know?
So you know what we're going to do? We're actually going to make another change to your calories. I said it was 1500 and 1900, right?
Yes.
So now what we're going to do is instead of 1500, 1900, we're going to make a range. Okay. So your low days are going to be between 1500 to 1700, somewhere in that range. And your high days are going to be between 1900 to 2100, somewhere in that range. Now we have more leeway to play with. And again, I wouldn't give you anything, Carolyn, that wouldn't work. So you have to trust me on that. There's nothing I would give you that doesn't work. So I promise you this is going to work if you follow it. The reason I like this range is because you seem like the person, tell me if I'm wrong, that if it's 1900, like you're looking to hit, if you hit 1901, you're like, fuck this. What, this was, I ruined it, right?
No, I thought you were going to say though, you're the person with a range who's always going to try to hit the lowest on the range to see progress. Cause that's definitely me. But no, I'm not like the person who's like, oh God, I blew it. Cause I went over. Like, I definitely know like plus five, minus five, like protein, carbs, okay. plus three, minus three fats. So like, I know that part of it, but I'm definitely like, as you were saying it, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably still going to aim for 1500 and 1900, which is not how it should be.
That's totally fine. It's totally fine to aim for that. And actually, I think it's smart from the perspective. If your goal was weight loss, I think it makes sense to like aim for that. It gives you more leeway. And like if something comes up, we're like, who knows? You're like, friends are like, hey, let's go out to eat. Cool. Now you have a little bit more of a buffer. If your goal was gaining weight, then maybe the idea would be to aim for the higher end. But you know, even if you hit the lower side, you're still totally fine. That's the range. Like if anywhere in that range, that's a red X day. You're consistent. Like, cool. My goal here is I want to know your opinion on this. How do we track this, like this behavior? How do we track improvement with this? Like by the end of the 90 days, how do we track your progress, your success with not looking at it as an all or nothing? And if you don't have any ideas, I'm happy to give mine, but I'm interested in your thoughts on this.
I mean, I guess a lot of it's just going to be like honesty with myself and others. So, you know, if I did binge over those numbers, like how did I feel? Was I okay with it after I did it? Was there a driving force behind it that maybe I should figure out? I don't know. That's a good question. Like maybe after the 90 days, like what I can reevaluate my relationship with food. I'm not sure. It's not good. Something I've ever really thought of because I've always just been in this perpetual diet, I feel like.
So here's what I think is one possible way we could do this. You mentioned earlier you were looking at goals month by month. I think we could do this, right? So what if we look at at any time you have a binge, which candidly, a big part of me has a feeling that you literally might not binge again. But let's just say you binge like six times over March. We'll just call it that, just random number. Every time you do it, I want you to just make a note of it on that day on the calendar that you binged and talk about how you're feeling, why you think you did it, and just mark it down, okay? And so at the end of every month, we'll see how many times you binge and then how you were feeling, how long did it last, how much guilt was there, how much did you eat? And then month to month, we're going to look at that and see, is it improving month to month? So maybe, who knows, maybe you do it six times in March, four times in April, and then two times in May, right? Like that would be an a tremendous amount of progress to look for, right? Like if we're sort of looking, if we're going to use like strength training terms, progressive overload, like you'd be progressively overloading. You'd be getting better every month with that progress in terms of fewer binges. Maybe the intensity of the binge is less. Maybe the guilt after the binge is less. Maybe you're not eating as much or stuffing yourself as much. It doesn't last as long. I want to know all of these things about every time that you potentially binge so that we could track your progress with it. Because I think that will be the main thing to look for here is when you're doing it, why you're doing it, and the progression over the next 90 days of how often and how intensely you do it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I can definitely do that. The only thing I'm trying to think, I mean, obviously, like, repetition just builds, like, consistency and, like, being okay with it. So I'd be curious to see, like, knowing myself, like, would I justify any binges or be okay with it more than I would be because it's a challenge from you? You know, does that make sense? Or... like, because I know in these 90 days I'm supposed to be working on this, will I naturally get better or will I only be better because I'm focusing on it, if that makes sense?
And that's a valid question. And I would say, here's the scenario that I'm playing in my mind right now. Let's say there's a day, birthday, holiday, friends in town, whatever. You can't track your dinner. You probably went over your calories by like 500. What I'm looking for here is you being totally fine with it.
Right.
And maybe even tracking those days as well. So like, let's say you have a day where you can't track dinner. Like I want you in the same way, if you struggle with a binge, I want you to mark it. I want you to mark your successes as well. So the day where maybe you go 700 calories over, I want, and you don't binge. I want you to go to your notebook and I want you to be like, today, this was a situation in which I would have binged prior, but I didn't today because I know that going 700 calories over isn't a big deal and I enjoyed myself and I'm back on track. Like, I would love to keep track of those so we can see these. And it very well might be that, I mean, there's no question that if you do this, a large part of it will be because of the challenge that you're currently embarking on. But many people make lifelong changes that begin with a challenge, right?
Right.
It's like,
that's kind of what I was thinking, like maybe just to get used to it. Or if I start seeing like any weight loss progress, like I know that's not the main focus, but if I do see weight loss progress mixed in with still eating high calories, like that'll be the biggest light bulb for me. Because I always get like 3 or 4 days in, see the scale go up, and then I'm like, well, screw it. And then I start over again tomorrow. And it's just kind of like that one step forward, two steps back mentality. So, you know, I think if I hit these numbers and I do see progress, even if I'm not 100%, that'll be what kind of snaps me out of it.
I love that. I love that. So I think we're really good on markers to look at for improving your relationship with food. I do want to go back now to weight, because it's a valid indicator. And I think it's important to discuss that. It's also so we have some benchmark numbers. You said, I believe it was, if you could lose a pound to a pound and a half a week, that would be like a miracle. Half a pound a week, you'd still be very happy with, correct?
Right.
So 3 months, it's 12 weeks. So if you lost 12 pounds by the end of this, you would consider that miraculous, correct?
Oh, I'd be super pumped, especially after spending the last year and a half not losing. So seeing that scale go in that direction would be incredible.
Okay. So I want you to write down in terms of the goals of at the end of 90 days, what would make you very happy is anywhere between 6 to 12 pounds, because that's like half a pound to 1 pound a week. So at the end of these 90 days, if you are anywhere between 6 to 12 pounds down, that's a successful 90 days. And this is going to be very cool to look back on in 90 days time, because guaranteed that's going to happen. Like, guarantee, and you're going to be doing it eating significantly more calories than you were before. So right. I'm very excited about this. Do you have any thoughts, any concerns, any questions on that?
No, I'm definitely excited. I'm nervous for the calories, I won't lie, because just like everybody else, you're kind of in this mentality of like needing to eat, you know, 1300-1400 calories to lose weight. And I've tried like eating more consistently. I'm going to air quote that, and I didn't lose. So, you know, I'm a little nervous about that part, but I know I trust you and I know that this is correct. I just got to do it.
One thing I really want you to be aware of is I want you to keep track of your weight, but you are not allowed to compare your weight day to day.
Okay, because I definitely do.
This is the biggest mistake. Anyone who's like, oh, like it wasn't working, I was being consistent, and then the weight, it's like, yeah, your weight spiked up one day and you're comparing Tuesday to Wednesday's, like, of course, what the fuck are you doing? Come on. I only want you to compare month to month. So March 1st to April 1st, April 1st to May 1st, March 2nd to April 2nd, April 2nd to May 2nd. So you're getting all these data points. You're collecting all of them. But if you get mad when your weight spikes up one day and you're comparing it to the previous day or the day before that or the day before that, like, I'm going to find you in Buffalo and I'm going to lose my shit. Because that's the number one way to use the scale incorrectly and to use it in a way that will set yourself up for failure. Because you're asking for yourself to be disappointed because you're treating this data point illogically. You're treating it completely emotionally. When you weigh in Monday and then expect it to go down on Tuesday or get upset when it goes up on Tuesday, that's an zero logic in that relationship with the scale. It is all emotion. And when you look at it month to month, like the first of the month to the first of the month to the first of the month, now you're actually treating it logically. You're treating it scientifically, systematically, deliberately. I wonder how many words with an LY on it I can add to that.
Keep it going.
So that's, if you notice yourself getting upset, like let's say you weigh in one day and the scale spikes up and like you had like 1900 calories one day and you're like, fucking Jordan told me I could have 1900 calories, but the scale spiked up. I want you to check yourself and I want you to listen back to this call. I want you to say, all
so
right,
don't
Tony,
yell
I can't
at you
compare
on this. Instagram is what you're saying. If I don't,
if
it
you
spikes
yell
up
at me,
by
I'm gonna
0.3.
yell right back. And another thing that I'd like you to take advantage of and to use is the Inner Circle Facebook group. I would love, and this I've had many members do this before, anyone who struggles binge eating or the scale, is a check-in in the Facebook group. So let's say you have a day, like you go over your calories or you binge, whatever it is, go in there and be like, hey, listen, here's what happened. Like I ate over my calories, like I binge. I need some accountability and like, I don't like, I'm literally just putting this out here because I know this is a supportive, encouraging group, and that's it. And guarantee, number one, you're going to get amazing, amazing encouragement and support and love from everybody. But number two, for yourself, sometimes it just helps to speak it, just to say it, to write it, to get it out. So I would also strongly encourage you to do that throughout this process.
Yeah, I definitely need to break that day-to-day scale habit because like I do write it down so I can get the average for the week. But it still shatters me because I feel like I'm wasting my time. And it's kind of hard to like switch off that mentality, especially if I'm going to observe it as like a month to month. Like my brain instantly goes to, well, what if I don't lose a single pound this month? And I just wasted a whole month where I could have had a little bit lower calories and I could have lost. But once again, then I'm still in this same cycle where 2 years later, I haven't made a difference. So something's got to change. Mm-hmm.
I agree completely, and not to mention the idea of a wasted month always interests me, right? Like the idea of a wasted month, because essentially what we're looking at is like that means we're looking at this like a race,
right?
Like, oh, I wasted an entire month. I could have spent that whole month. Like, let's say you did eat fewer calories that month and you lost 2 pounds. Right? Like, big whoop. Like, why? Who are you? What's the rush? Not to mention if at the end of the month your relationship with food is better, but the scale is staying the same. It's like, that's a win. And this is where we have to differentiate different forms of progress. I'm
it's the
really,
wedding
really
pressure. You know what I mean? That's what I get, is like this image in my head of what I want it to be, how I want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta let it go.
I'm going to ask you a personal question. Feel free to, sure, to decline to answer. Do you want to have children?
I don't. We don't.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Do you have any nephews, nieces, anything like that?
I don't. I have two
You're
younger
really
brothers
killing
and one
my point,
older
right?
brother. Yeah. But I do have, like, my best friends all have kids and I'm like their aunt without being their aunt. So, you know, we have two dogs and a cat and that's enough.
So one thing that I always say to people, let's say you're talking to about your friend's kids. Your friend's kids come over. They look at your wedding pictures. This is something that I really think is very important. Do you want to lose a lot of weight and then have, I don't know, maybe your friend's daughter comes over, whatever it is. She sees it and she sees you in a form that was essentially done by starving yourself. Essentially right. done in a way that was completely unrealistic. And I see a lot of people doing this where they restrict so they look like super, super skinny or they're leanest as possible on their wedding day so that when they look back at the pictures, they can be happy with it and they can show other people. But what you're really doing is you're showing people what you can do to your body when you starve it. And when like that's not how you want to show other people, and that's not what you want to think about when you think back to your wedding. Ideally,
right. And that's,
I would
honestly
imagine.
Not even my goal, like as an athlete, like I like looking stronger. Like I like being stronger. Like if mm-hmm. I could be a slightly heavier version of Tia Toomey, I would. Like she's, you know, like just an incredible human. So, but I don't want my body can't be like that. I'm not dedicating 365 days a year to that workout. But like I like the idea of being strong. Like I'm not somebody who wants to be just thin to be thin.
I love that. So I think this is going to be difficult. I'm not going to lie and say like, this is just going to be easy. This is going to be difficult. The challenge 90 days is hard. Like 90 days is a lot. One of the reasons I like the Unicorn Strong Challenge and I made it 90 days is because I always found that the people who it's funny, this, I, if you really look at the structure of the Inner Circle, you'll see this consistently. The lowest amount someone can sign up for the Inner Circle is 3 months. Right. And the starting program is 3 months, and the driving force behind the structure of that is because I've always found, whether it was one-on-one coaching, Inner Circle, whatever, is people who stick with something for 3 months are radically more likely to be successful long-term, as opposed to the people who just do it for a month or do it for a few weeks. Right. And that's what I'm trying to get here. So it's difficult. It's very, very hard, but I'm very confident by the end of this, you're going to have a better relationship with food. And I'm very excited to keep up to date with you throughout this process. And if you want, what we could do is, I've done this once before on the podcast, I think this might be really fun, is instead of talking in 90 days, what if we talk every 30 days throughout sure. this challenge so we can keep up to date? And so we go, cool, month one, Unicorn Strong Challenge done, month two done, month three done. And that way we can reassess your goals. We can reassess everything you're doing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I love it. I need that accountability. I need not a reason, but like I need to like not let somebody down, I think, to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to meet every 30 days. So when we get off this, I'm going to need you to email Kat and say like, hey, you know, Jordan said we're going to talk every 30 days. So I'll text her as well. How do you feel about the goals for March in terms of 87% consistent, 5,000 steps, and most importantly of all is keeping track of your consistency with binging, and keeping track of like if you go over by a few hundred calories, seeing how you do with that. Like, how do you feel about all those goals?
Good. It's clear, concise, to the point. It's not a lot. It's just, you know, what, three things to do. So three things to focus on. So yep. I like it. I don't see why any reason why I wouldn't be able to do it.
Do you have any questions, any concerns about it? Anything you want to cover?
No, I mean, I think it's just a get it done. Just, you know, do it.
I love that. Like you could tell like the athlete, you can hear the athlete come out. Just do it. Just going to get it done.
It.
All right.
Just
fucking do it. All right. Bibbidi bobbidi boobidi. The one thing I'm really going to be looking for in 30 days when we hop on again and talk is I'm going to want to keep a weight log of your weight. And I'm going to really want to be to discuss with you about how you felt throughout the month when your weight spiked up, and I'm going to want fully honest discussion around that. And throughout these next 30 days, really keep my voice in your head anytime the scale spikes. And remember, here's the cool part about this month to month and you and I talking every 30 days. you're not allowed to get upset at the scale in the next 30 days because you can't compare any weigh-in to anything in the next 30 days. There's literally zero, you can't compare because it's always to the first of the month. So first of the month, second of the month, third of the month. So there's no comparison going on over this entire month. It's all data collection. That's it. Once we have these 30 days of data collection, then we compare to the following 30 days. So anything, any emotion you have with your weight this month is like, I'm not going to say eliminate the emotion, but even if it's happy, even if like you get really excited because you see the scale drop down, I want you to collect yourself and say, it's just data. It doesn't matter. It's just another data point in these overall 30 data points. That, like, that's the best you can keep yourself from avoiding the high highs and avoiding the low lows just by bringing back to yourself, it's just data. The more we can make this a habit, the better.
Sounds good.
Deal?
Deal. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Appreciate all that you do and everyone you help. So I'm excited.
I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited about this. And I'm always here to help. The inner circle is always here. I'm really glad that you brought this up. Like, I think this is going to be a very fun project. And if you ever need anything, don't ever hesitate to reach out. Like, we're always here to help. And I think the last thing I'll say, because I know, like, athlete, intense, just do it. Enjoy it. Relax.
Yeah.
Like, take a deep, like, it doesn't have to be like this isn't like the Super Bowl. This is just you. It's you getting better. You don't have to wake up with like, mother, I've got something to prove to somebody. It's just like, nope, it's just being 1% better every day and trying to enjoy the process as much as you can.
We'll see. I'm just kidding.
Awesome. Well, listen, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time. And anything you need, please let me know, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. We will reconvene in 1 month, and hopefully goals have been checked off.
Absolutely. I'm gonna text Kat right now, but make sure you email her as well, okay?
Okay, will do.
Awesome. Have a great night.
You too. Bye, Jordan.
Bye. That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on. To everyone listening, I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. And if you would like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at the link in the description or www.sfinnercircle.com.